Our first reading today is from Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 through 18. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and camped for the night, since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there, set it under his head, and lay down to sleep. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground, and it reached all the way to the sky. Angels of God were going up and going down on it. Then God was right before him, saying, I am God, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm giving the ground on which you are sleeping to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They'll stretch from west to east and from north to south. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in you and your descendants. Yes, I'll stay with you. I'll protect you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this very ground. I'll stick with you until I've done everything I promised you. Jacob woke up from his sleep, and he said, God is in this place, truly, and I didn't even know it. He was terrified. He whispered in awe, incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. Jacob was up first thing in the morning. He took the stone he had used for his pillow and stood it up as a memorial pillar and poured oil over it. That concludes today's reading.
Our second scripture reading consists of one single verse in the New Testament. It comes from Revelation 3, verse 20. Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. And if you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Here ends our reading. Brothers and sisters, recently a family from up north decided to move down to Florida. And the move, of course, had been the principal topic of conversation around the house for weeks. So finally, the night before the big move, the darling little five-year-old daughter was saying her prayers, and this is what she said. And now, God, I'll have to say goodbye forever, because tomorrow we are moving to Florida. Welcome in Florida. Personal question. Do you ever talk about your faith? No, not talk about your church. That's also important. Not even about the teachings of your church. Not even about the teachings of any other faith or another church. My question is, do you ever talk about your faith? Your personal faith. Your relationship and your experiences with God. As we all know, a growing number of folks in our church intentionally talk about the reality of God in their everyday lives, and they share their personal faith stories with each other. No, they are not a bunch of hypocrites, and they would not even dream to interfere with what others around them believe or not believe. They have simply discovered that God is not a myth. God is not an angry eye in the sky. God is not a crooked finger. They have discovered that God is real, and they do find it difficult not to talk about it. Many of us have vivid memories of the times in our lives when we were overwhelmingly conscious of God's presence. We can talk about times in our lives when our faith became a visible reality. And we decided, maybe long ago, that talking about God and our relationship with God is not as out of bounds as most people seem to think. Many people have discovered that a living relationship with God is possible, it is real, and it can be life-changing, no matter whom we are or where we are on life's journey. Now, in the first reading this morning, in the middle of nowhere, Old Testament scripture told us that Jacob had such a God experience. In other words, we can call it an encounter with the living God. And his only response, can you imagine how he felt when all became clear and real to him? The only response that he had, the only thing that he thought could be fitting at that moment was to christen the place, to baptize the place, to give it a name. And he called it Bethel, house of God. You know what? From that moment on, Jacob was never, ever the same again. Before his Bethel experience, Jacob deceived his father, and he cheated his brother out what was lawfully his brother's. So let me summarize it for you. Before Bethel, in reality, Jacob was nothing but a crook. But something happened. Somehow a transformation took place in his life. And his transformation began that night when he discovered that this place, here where I am, is the house of God, Bethel. And since that moment, he was a new and a different person. And from then on, the Bible tells us he stayed in touch with God's transforming power. And the Bible says his children and their children would bless the world. And they did. And I have a suspicion that that is the very reason why at least some of us are here today. I know for sure that there are many of us who can tell you that somewhere along our journey, we didn't plan it, there was no witchcraft, but somehow along our journey, God made God's self real and visible for us. We come to church and worship in heart and spirit to affirm the relationship that we have with our Bethel, the house of God, where we met with God. But sometimes, though, it is not easy to express what we really feel. Many people have had such experiences. They never talk about them. They have the tendency to say, well, I'm strong. I do not show my emotions. I think about these things. I hold back. We are different when we grow up. We're no longer children who can say something as spontaneous as we heard this morning. But I want to ask you, here at the beginning, at the very first Sunday of 2011, when you become aware of God's presence, when sincere emotion moves your heart, please do not fight the temptation to express your awareness of God's presence in your life. You know, that's exactly what happened to the New Testament tax collector Zacchaeus. He was an ordinary man when he woke up that morning, a bit short. He had to climb into a tree. And something happened. He invited Jesus into his home, the Bible says. And something happened behind closed doors. We do not know exactly what. But we know one thing for sure. Something happened in that house, because when he came out, his life was never ever the same again. Oh, I've seen people having similar experiences, even at their darkest moments. In almost a half century of being in the pulpit, I've seen many a deathbed transformed and touched by the presence of God, so that no one could say that God wasn't there. I've seen them with dying eyes when a brother or sister sensed that God was near and with them, and that they needed not to fear. I saw the victory when one of us closed their eyes. There was a day, my own life, 15-year-old kid, that I didn't know what was happening, but I experienced for the first time something that I was not accustomed to, that God's overwhelming presence was there, was with me, I had no doubt. And hesitatingly, I surrendered my life to God way back in 53. It's now much later. And I have to be the first one to admit that I failed God over and over many times in my life, and I still do. But I want to tell you that God has never, never, not even once, failed me. Question is, 2011, science has taken over. We know everything. We know all the answers. Is it still true? Is it still necessary to be aware of God's presence in one's life? Can God's power still touch and move you and me in such a way that the same transformation that so many people talk about can take place, that the same power can be unleashed in our midst? Great things are being done. Enormous changes are coming about whenever ordinary people like you and me begin to respond to God's presence in our lives. Am I out of date? Do I belong to a previous generation that shouldn't talk like this in a modern age? Friend, there is nothing but truth and sincerity when I want to tell you that God often visits us. But mostly we hang out the unwelcome sign. God often visits us, but most of the time, we're not even in. The place where Jacob spent the night and had his dream became a holy place for him. At that unlikely place and at that unlikely time, he listened to God's presence, God's voice. Since that night, that moment, that experience with God would direct his life. That moment with God, thereby his first Bethel, that moment would inspire him till the last of his days on earth. Much, much later, John, the author of the book of Revelation, was alone. He was deported to an island called Patmos. And we gather from all the old manuscripts that he must have had a similar God experience. He describes visions, and most of them we understand, and we can see how they took place in history. But there is someone that he describes as the Son of Man. And this Son of Man, and we must remember this, this is apocalyptic material, way of speaking. But the voice that he heard somehow said to him the words of Revelation 3:20, "Look at me. Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. And if you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you." And don't tell me you haven't seen the picture, because since the day that I started knowing what's happening around me, way back in Africa, I saw pictures on walls wherever we went. Many of the older people had it even in those days. The winsome picture of a painting of an imagined Jesus standing at the door, knocking. We've all seen it. Many of us grew up with it in our own parents' homes, and they are still around. Funny thing about that painting, the door doesn't have an outside knob. You have to open it from the inside. And I think that's a problem what most people don't understand. Don't understand, and oh, hear this. Sometimes you have to open the door from the inside out, or you will never become aware of the presence of God in your life. Open the door on this first Sunday of 2011. And this may become the day that you will remember as the first of your lasting, conscious relationship with God. Today, transformation can begin. Oh God, let it be. Let it be. Amen.